This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Don't call the show if you expect me to agree with you 100%. If you can't handle the heat, I'm telling you, don't call. Don't do it. A, the world would be boring if we all agreed. B, I have opinions, so do you. It's okay for us to disagree. It's sports. This is not life or death. It's not the war in Afghanistan. It's not the fight against cancer. It's sports. So why should we all agree? It would be boring that way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Happy Monday! That might annoy you, actually. If you are waking up on a Monday and you don't want to be happy, and you're cranky and you're grumpy that it's Monday morning and you have to be up this early, well then, me saying Happy Monday might, in fact, make it worse. Either way, it's Monday and we're going to get through it together. I hope that you had a great weekend. It was a working weekend for me, but my happy place, courtside, doing basketball play-by-play on TV. It's amazing how a few more games under my belt and a couple of years of doing TV has made it not nearly as scary. I still don't love being on TV, but it used to be that I dreaded TV play-by-play, and now I'm actually getting the hang of it and really enjoy being courtside for college basketball. It's a great time of the year. We had not just college hoops, but the NBA over the weekend, and of course, the launch of the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. How much did you watch and what did you think? We spent the first 2 hours of this show talking about it because so many of you wanted to send me your tweets and wanted to call in and talk about it. So I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got a spot up there where you can weigh in. What's your initial reaction to the AAF, which had 3 million viewers on Big CBS on Saturday night? We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome from Philadelphia and the Philly Inquirer, Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers. And they had a massive statement yesterday against the Los Angeles Lakers. When you watch the new look Sixers play, Keith, good morning. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. What statement do they make to you?
It's just that they're really balanced right now. I mean, they make a statement that if everything works out, this team can contend for the Eastern type. I mean, they are contenders now for the Eastern Conference championship. But, you know, if they stay healthy and if everyone gets on par and get to learn the system, I think that they're going to be tough to beat. You know, right now the bench is playing better than people expected. But we all knew that as in regards to a starter, that Tobias Harris was going to be a big addition. But when you look at Mike Scott, you look at James Ennis, you look at Boban, you know, and Jonathan Simmons, you know, these guys are really bringing it, you know, for the second unit.
How is Tobias Harris fitting in these first couple of games since he came from the Clippers?
I mean, he's fitting in well. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you look at him and, you know, if there was an issue beforehand, and a lot of people dissected it when Joel Embiid complained after the Jimmy Butler trade, it had nothing to do with Jimmy. It had a lot to do with the way Embiid had to play. And you look at Tobias, and Tobias is doing the things and excelling in the things that Embiid didn't want to do in regards to playing in the perimeter. And yesterday, Tobias had 14 of his 22 points. in the first quarter. I mean, he was 6 for 6. So, you know, shooting. So it's just that's how he's fitting in. He's getting to his spots. He's opening things up for everyone else based off of his ability to get wherever he wants to on the floor.
The big headline for the Philly Inquirer and the sports page on February 11th, this Monday morning, is new look, comma, Indeed, INDIID. Is it safe to say that fans are jazzed up about the possibilities with this new look team?
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, especially yesterday. I mean, you know, the thing about Philadelphia is there are two teams who the Sixers despise. Right? And Sixers fans, rather, they despise the Boston Celtics and they despise the Lakers. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, in the years back in the day, those two teams used to beat them. And last night, or yesterday, rather, was one of those things where they, you know, put a whooping on the Lakers. And Magic was in town, a lot of other people, celebrities. So it was like, wow, we have arrived, you know, and it made the people feel as if that, you know, is the old times are back again, like when Dr. J, Moses Malone, Allen Iverson, you know, all the great times that the Sixers had are coming back. And that's just the feel, you know, of the city right now. Everyone's loving the Sixers.
Keith Pompey covers the Sixers for Philly.com and The Inquirer with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I think I was really impressed not only by how efficient they were, shooting 58% against the Lakers, but also turning the ball over just 7 times. So they did, they were like a well-oiled machine. They did pretty much everything right. My question would be, was there any reaction or how much reaction was there to Ben Simmons indicating that he would like to work with Magic Johnson in the offseason on being a big point guard?
You know, a lot of people, you know, it's funny because a lot of people did say it and, a lot of people did, like, voice their displeasure on it, especially on social media. You know, there was articles written about that. But me personally, you know, it was one of those things where it didn't really bother me. And the reason why it didn't bother me is because, you know, first of all, if Magic Johnson wants to tamper, or Magic Johnson wants to, you know, get Ben Simmons, or Ben Simmons wants to go there, he's going to leave anyway. You know what I mean? And if he wants to work out with him, let's face it, Ben Simmons lives in L.A. in the summertime. So Ben Simmons could just happen to be go to a gym in the summer, and Magic should happen to be there, and they could work out and make it seem like, hey, we just met here. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So the fact that Magic came out and said, hey, but we have to get approval through the Sixers, through the NBA, before I do it, it's kind of like, that's nice of you, Magic. So, you know what I mean? So I'm not, like, if Ben Simmons wants to leave, he's going to leave. I mean, let's face it, he's going to leave. So I'm not one of those people like, oh, my gosh, why did Magic say that? Nah, if he's being real, he's being real.
Why couldn't the Sixers wait any longer on Markelle Fultz?
I mean, it's just, you know, what, Markelle only played 33 games. Markelle wasn't close to coming back. You know, I think the one thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is Markelle was getting bad advice. You know, like, you know, there are rules to a team that you have to be on. You know, when Markelle left and said, you know, I'm going to get my shoulder checked out again, the team found out on social media.
Oh.
Right? You know what I mean? When Markelle was supposed to come back and he didn't, you know, it was like, you know, the agent was like, oh, well, you know, he'll be back. He's okay. So, I mean, there are certain things that rules that you have to go by. And I think that the advice, Markelle's a great guy. But I think the advice that he received from a couple family members and he received from his agent, you know, might have hindered him and his career with the Sixers. Now, who knows? Maybe they felt like it was best for him to go elsewhere and get a new start, which I agree with. But at the same time, if you're Markelle Fultz, you know, you have to play. You can't be away from the team. And he didn't do that, you know. And as you know, last I checked, as of a couple weeks ago or a week ago, he wasn't doing anything on the court, like anything really basketball related. So that's why it was time for Markelle Fultz to go.
The Sixers send him to the Magic, former number one pick, and in exchange they get Jonathan Simmons and a couple of draft picks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Keith Pompey. We appreciate him joining us live. Covers the Sixers for the Philly Inquirer and Philly.com. So let's fast forward to the offseason. Regardless of what happens with the 76ers, maybe they win the East, maybe they get to the NBA Finals, we'll see. How many of these guys can they legitimate keep long-term, the ones who are now in their starting lineup?
I mean, they can keep all of them if they want to. I mean, I think the thing is you got to figure out, like, if Jimmy Butler wants to come back. And the thing about J.J. Redick, you know, some people may say J.J. Redick, what, 34 years old, he'll be 35 next year. The thing with him is he's such a great fit for the team. You know, and I figure out, like, if you think about it, let's just say if they give Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris a max contract, right? Well, they probably won't have the money to go out there and get someone else, like, who can do the things that J.J. Redick does. But the fact that they already have his rights and the fact that the team is already going to be in, like, the luxury tax if they max these two guys out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if it's just a matter of you know, paying more luxury tax or whatever, go out and keep J.J. Redick. Now, you may not give him a five-year deal, but you could give him a couple-year deal just to keep him intact, especially if you're saying the goal is to win now. You know what I mean? Win now. He's 34, 35. You know, he doesn't have to be a superstar. You just need him to shoot, make some shots. And if the goal is to win now, you know what? You might as well keep all five of them.
How optimistic are they that Jimmy Butler will be interested in re-signing there, considering that there should be a market for him?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, there are some people in the organization think he is, some who are like, you know, it's still a wait and see. And then the other thing that you have to factor in is, you know, we have to see how it all shakes out, like how all this shakes out. Now, as good as they look, it's always some chemistry things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Tobias is loving it right now, but he may say the playoffs may come. I doubt it, but the playoffs may come, and he may say, hey, how come I only got like eight shots this game? You know what I mean? The same thing for Jimmy. But, you know, the 76ers, you know, you look at Jimmy Butler, he's 29. You know, his next payday could be his biggest payday, his best payday, you know, before it's time for him to, you know, call it quits. And, you know, when you think from a money standpoint, it will benefit him to play for the Sixers. And then not only that, the Sixers are going to be a solid team the rest of this year and next season. So it's one of those things where, you know, you can get more money here, and also, you know, you can also win a title here. So, I mean, that's something for him to factor in. And I think a lot of times, you know, money is something big. Money and a title, potential title, is two huge things that are hard to pass up.
Definitely are. And so that's why we don't know how the playoffs might factor in. That can always change minds down the road. You can follow Keith on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers, P-O-M-P-E-Y. Covers the team for the Philly Inquirer and Philly.com. Spending a few minutes with us early on this Monday morning. Keith, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
So right now, the Sixers are flying high, of course, coming off of that victory over the Lakers. And as Keith points out, it's one of those teams that they desperately want to beat every single time. Fans really enjoying it. And guess who's next? Coming up on Tuesday night, the Boston Celtics. So a rematch of the second round of the playoffs last year. Right now, the 76ers have the edge in terms of the Eastern Conference standings, and the Celtics have faded back to fifth because they've come off of back-to-back devastating losses against the Clippers and the Lakers, in both cases with 20-plus point leads and they coughed him up at home. So it's one thing to do it on the road. It's entirely another to do it at home. But it's the Bucks and the Raptors who are pacing the field with 41 wins each. Then the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Celtics all grouped together, separated by just two games, those three teams. So the East is a beast, and some of the top teams making moves at the deadline to try to improve their ability to win this conference and then get to the NBA Finals. A lot of teams, most teams in the NBA, felt like were clearing cap space and getting rid of unwanted contracts, but not the Bucks, the Raptors, and the Sixers. They all made moves to try to get a jostle and elbow themselves to a better position in the East. And we're well past the midway point. So right now, teams have played 55, 56 games, and they're desperate to get to the All-Star break. I was listening to Tim Roy on Sunday night call the Warriors and the Heat, and Golden State picked up another technical foul. In fact, had two in the second half, and he said that was a half dozen in their last two games. And he mentioned it's a grumpy time of the year in the NBA because teams are waiting on what is a later All-Star break. They just want to get away from each other. They're mentally fatigued. It feels like it's a grind, the dog days of February. So that's coming. And then once we get through this All-Star break this weekend, well, then, you know, it's going to be a mad dash to the finish, season ending up in mid-April. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a poll up. We'd love for you to take it and then just weigh in with us on either Twitter or Facebook. How interested are you in the AAF? What's your reaction after seeing the product on this debut weekend? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Kavici on 3rd and 20 to the end zone. It's intercepted. Orion Stewart on the pick, and he's still going. Two lead blockers in front of him. Stewart. And finally forced out of bounds right around the 30-yard line. 69 yards on a return by Stewart.
It's the risk-reward you get with Berkovici. He's not afraid to take that shot, but can't make the mistake.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's already my favorite name in the AAF, Mike Berkovici, former ASU and Chargers quarterback. He was undrafted in 2016 and now gets a shot at reps and time on the field with the San Diego Fleet. Though, boy, did he take a hit that went viral Saturday in the AAF. So the San Antonio Commanders were hosting the Fleet. You can hear the crowd there on CBS. It was the game that was broadcast for most of the nation on Big CBS with Spiro Dedis and Tiki Barber. And we put up the 11-second video of the hit. There was an interception, of course, and then a run back after that. But the 11 seconds will give you the taste of that bone-rattling hit. Berkovici got up, though. Give the man credit. I wonder if there should have been an independent neurosurgeon on the sidelines or neurologist to determine whether or not he was okay to continue playing. But yeah, this hit went viral. And a lot of people were saying, hey, so much better than the NFL. You don't get a flag on a hit like that. Yeah, yeah. Well, here's what you may not know. In order to protect its quarterbacks, the AAF actually has put in rules for the defenses when it comes to pass rushing. Because they've only had a month of practice under their belts and the O-lines need time to gel and to come together to really be cohesive. So teams are only allowed to rush five players and they can't blitz from the secondary at all. So if there are only five men on the line of scrimmage, those are the only guys who can rush. And Bill Polian, who's a former Colts exec and of course is now a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he said the offensive linemen wouldn't be able to pick up all these exotic blitzes that we see in the NFL. They're basically coming out of the secondary, and he says we're going to get quarterbacks hurt and it's not much of a game. Honestly, nobody wants to see the quarterback sacked repeatedly. Well, maybe not, but the initial hit on Berkovici, it was certainly popular on Twitter. on social media everywhere. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I do not know what happened to the app, but apparently the AAF app was not operational on Saturday night at least. There will be fantasy games that you can play through the app, and it's actually, it's partnered with MGM. So the app has a gaming partner if you want to bet live during the games. A lot of positive reaction. So congratulations to the Alliance of American Football for its debut weekend. I don't think it could have gone any better than what it did. The fact that it had its initial games on a Saturday night on big CBS. You had Kurt Warner, who is the poster child for how a developmental league can launch a Hall of Fame career. Remember, he was NFL Europe, turned into a Super Bowl winner, and now, well, Super Bowl winner, MVP, and now a Hall of Famer. And the games that aired on CBS actually beat the Rockets and Thunder on NBC or ABC, excuse me, on Saturday night. You had coaches mic'd up like Steve Spurrier. You had very recognizable faces. In addition to Spurrier, Mike Martz, Mike Riley. I mean, you're talking about coaches right now who maybe are more household names than most of the players. You had fantastic atmospheres in the various cities that were hosting. And we did get some big-time offense. So Sunday is where we got the big quarterback play. And so far, we've got a poll up as well as we're taking all of your reaction on Twitter and Facebook. I would say 80% of it is extremely positive. It's more interactive technology. Fans are allowed to hear what's happening when it comes to a replay and the officials. So that was kind of fun to hear their discussions. The game is committed to being faster, so fewer breaks, shorter commercials, no kickoffs. You cannot kick a point after attempt. You have to go for two. Don't ask me to explain the overtime rules. They're quirky, but at some point they'll probably come into play. Charlie Ebersol is the other founder. So it's Bill Polian and Charlie Ebersol that partnered on the AAF. And he posted this on Sunday. When we began the AAF, we hoped to put good football on the field. Tonight was way beyond my expectations. I'm in awe of Bill Polian and his team, humbled and so grateful to San Antonio and Orlando. We have lots of work to do, but tonight we laid the groundwork for growth. Hashtag join the alliance. It's not connected with the NFL, but it's veterans with all their wisdom and experience, years, decades of experience, from the most powerful sports league in the country. And they're now putting that to good use. And the business model itself is really impressive. My question is this. After the initial onslaught of marketing and PR and social media traffic and games on CBS, which will not happen every weekend, once the novelty wears off, are fans going to stick? Will they be as invested in the AAF as they do get with the NFL? And there are a couple reasons why I worry. Again, the games are not going to be on big CBS every weekend. So for fans who were just flipping through channels on Saturday night and stumbled across some football and thought, "Ooh, let me check this out." Well, that's probably not going to happen on CBS Sports Network or NFL Network. I can guarantee you that the ratings will not be as high when the games are not on CBS. So the 3 million viewers, that was huge. But once they move to cable networks, it won't be as easy to find. Plus, think about the competition coming up. We've got Daytona next weekend. You've got March Madness not that far in the future and conference tournaments that lead up to that. So the Duke-Virginia game actually had better ratings than the AAF over the weekend, but that makes sense. You're going to have baseball starting. The NBA and NHL playoffs coincide. They're actually at the same time as the championship in the AAF. And the Masters takes over a weekend as well. So there's a huge amount of competition on the horizon. Spring is nutso in sports. And so as much as this is a great business model, it's in the South, the Southwest, the West, pockets where college football is extremely popular. They play in primarily college football stadiums. It was an amazing launch. Can they sustain it? And that remains to be seen. So I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We are ready.
Bingo's
opening play. San Antonio on Woodside from the gun to get the party started, and it is caught. That's Mikhail McKay, who everyone on the San Antonio coaching staff, guys, has been talking about, a pickup of 22 to get it going.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Spiro Dedis with the initial call of the Alliance of American Football on CBS. So nice to have the CBS broadcast partner, especially having that first game on big CBS. So on network TV, where people could just stumble over it if you're flipping through channels. And if you're anything like me, you don't stay put on one channel very long. I don't watch commercials if I don't have to. In fact, sometimes I prefer to let a show start rolling and I'll tape it on my DVR just so I can go back and watch it, say, 15 minutes behind, because I don't want to watch the commercials. I'd rather just fast forward through them. So when I am watching a sporting event, I'm constantly flipping channels during ads. So clearly the people who spend $8 million or whatever it is on 5 seconds of advertising during the Super Bowl, they're not aimed at me. No, actually, during the Super Bowl, I will sit a little bit longer through the commercials, but still, I get impatient. I have a happy clicker finger, and so I'm constantly flipping channels. So if you're one of those people and you were maybe watching the NBA or you're watching college basketball or you're watching something that wasn't sports, but you happen to flip channels and come across big CBS, well, then you got the AAF. And there was a lot of social media traffic. It was a perfect launch in terms of the timing, coming off of the Super Bowl and a weekend later and people missing football, but also because there weren't any humongous events going on this weekend. So you're talking about regular season NBA and NHL. Yeah, some good college basketball games for sure, but there's always room for that. And Pebble Beach, and sure, Phil Mickelson, but it's so early in the golf season. This was the right time. What happens moving forward? I know a lot of you were thrilled at what you saw, judging by your tweets and your Facebook posts, and also by those of you who've taken the poll. It's overwhelmingly in favor of the AAF, and that you will definitely check it out again. So you can find that poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and we'll get to some of your feedback here coming up. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Happened that over the weekend, I spoke to both of my nieces, and I hadn't talked to either one of them since the Super Bowl. So I got their assessment of the Patriots beating the Rams, which, by the way, is re-airing at this moment on NFL Network. So I've been in the studio now for almost 4 hours. Well, that's not true. I got here and was in studio for an hour before the show. So I've been in studio for nearly 5 hours. And when I got in, there was an AAF game on the NFL Network, a replay. And then they went from that to Super Bowl 51, and I happened to look up at the point at which they were replaying the coin flip. So both the Patriots and the Falcons were on the field, and they were joined on the field by the late President Bush and his wife Barbara. And so that was a neat moment to remember, because I was in the stadium when it happened, and they got this massive standing ovation the entire time that they were coming across the field in a cart and a wheelchair. So it was really neat. Anyway, so they replayed Super Bowl 51 on NFL Network and then went from that broadcast right into Super Bowl 53. So it's all Patriots all the time overnight on the NFL Network following the AAF. Anyway, both of my nieces gave me their assessment of the Super Bowl. My younger niece, who's a senior in high school, said it was boring. That was her quote. It was boring. And I asked her, because she's much more into, you know, the trimming. So she's not a big football fan, but she was watching the Super Bowl with my brother. So I asked her about the commercials and the halftime. And her only response was, I like the Pringles commercial, but I don't remember any of the other ones. So that's how disengaged my niece was, the one who's a senior in high school. Here was what my senior in college niece said. I didn't watch it. So in terms of the younger generation, my nieces gave the Super Bowl two thumbs down. One of them didn't even care to watch it, even though her boyfriend is a big, well, he's an Eagles fan, so that may explain why they weren't watching the Super Bowl. But so that was kind of funny that they told me what they thought. My brother was a little more diplomatic. He said, what did he say? Oh, he said there weren't a whole lot of moments that stuck out. That's what he said. So he didn't go as so far as boring. He did watch the whole thing. But he said it certainly wasn't the most exciting Super Bowl I've ever seen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You want to know what made my older niece really excited? The fact that LeBron James was on her campus on Saturday night. So Duke played in Charlottesville at UVA, and that's where she's going to school. She frequently goes to football and basketball games, though it's a lottery system. And as you can imagine, there were a lot more kids who wanted to see Duke play at UVA on Saturday. And so she didn't get in, and the tickets were hundreds of dollars, so she didn't go. But she has a housemate who's in the band. One of her housemates plays in the UVA pep band. And apparently LeBron James was 15 feet from the band. And so her housemate came home with like dozens of pictures of LeBron James sitting right in front of them. And I guess that was kind of the buzz. So all of her friends, everybody on social media, the trending in Charlottesville on Saturday night, LeBron James. And then she mentioned Rondo too, being at the game. So that was kind of funny. That was what excited the UVA community, even though they did lose the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're getting closer and closer to March Madness. Just the idea that it will soon be March blows me away, but it is now technically mid-February on this February 11th, Monday morning. You can tune in tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. CBS Sports Network, College Hoops action. The top two teams in the Patriot League battle it out on the hard court. It's defending conference champ Bucknell hosting Lehigh on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. I'm having a hard time talking on this Monday morning. I'm not really sure why. I worked all weekend. I did basketball games on TV both Friday night and Saturday. And on Saturday evening, I hit the wall like hard, desperately needing a day off. And so I was thankful that there was no NFL on Sunday, because as much as there are other sports that are going on this time of the year, including the AAF now, nothing is all consuming like the NFL. And nothing is as all-consuming as the NFL in December and January. There's nothing like it. And so to finally get post-Super Bowl, to write my last column, to know that, okay, deep breath, we got a little time here. I was eager for Sunday. But then you know what happens. You've got this to clean and that to wash and this to organize and that to file. And all I really wanted to do is take a nap, but I actually didn't get one. So now here I am on a Monday morning and my brain is not cooperating. Lest you think I am a robot. No, you don't think that. You know I'm flat out human. And sometimes I say really dumb stuff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so let's go through some of your reaction to the AAF on social media. BJ says, even my wife, who doesn't follow football, liked how the replay official was on cam and thought it was cool she was a woman. Yeah, that was neat. Thought that was a nice touch. The fact that we only have one female official in the entire NFL, though there are certainly other women who work in the administration with various teams as well as in the NFL league offices. We even have a couple of female owners. But in terms of officials being part of that group, it was cool that it was a female official who was doing the replay and who was mic'd up. That's also a neat touch by the AAF. So I agree with that. Let's see, Jake on Twitter. I really liked it. There were big hits with no flags in all capital letters. It seemed like the games move faster. Oh, for sure. In fact, the AAF is committed to making these games move as quickly as possible. In fact, they'd prefer they be around 2 hours as opposed to the NFL, which is 3 hours. Let's see, another tweet. I'm 10 times more interested in the AAF than the NBA. Well, good that it filled a void for you. Although, you know what the NFL Network's doing this week? This is something else I happen to see because it's been up all night in the studio. Apparently, they're about to start replaying the top 20 games of 2018. So if you're really jonesing for football and football that you know is going to be entertaining and really good games, well, then the NFL Network might need to be bookmarked on your cable package. Jay says on Twitter, the NFL will always be number one, but the AAF eases the offseason pain. He says maybe the NFL will learn some replay 101 along the way. Yes, I'm sure the NFL is tuned in order to learn some lessons about how to run a league. I'm sure that the NFL is paying attention. Various teams, well, probably not head coaches necessarily, general managers, but you can be sure scouts are paying attention because these players, while some of them do have NFL experience, so you'll recognize some names like Aaron Murray, former Georgia quarterback, Christian Hackenberg. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but Christian Hackenberg, Matt Sims, Trent Richardson, really cool that he's playing for Birmingham because he's a former Alabama guy. Matt Asiata, Bishop Sankey, Denard Robinson. These are all running backs who you will recognize by name. And there's some defensive players, too, that you might remember. Scooby Wright, that's obviously a name that's pretty unique. But the majority of names that you'll know are coaches, which is kind of interesting. It's similar to college football. So a lot of these guys are coming from college. Maybe they were in training camp with a team. Maybe they were in the CFL. There are a lot of different feeders, paths that lead to the AAF. But the idea is, and I saw a lot of NFL players commenting about this on social media, the idea is that if you still have some talent, if you still are willing to put in the work, well, then potentially you could get another shot. Or if you haven't had your shot yet, maybe you went undrafted, you didn't get a look, you didn't stick through training camp. Well, then here's your opportunity to get reps, to spend more time, to be out there, to be learning from coaches who were previously in the NFL or at the high levels of college football. By the way, the guys are making $250,000 over 3 years. So everybody makes the same. Every player's on the same deal. 3 years, 250 grand. And how about this? If you finish a year in the league, you get a stipend for college. If you haven't finished college or you want to go back, or maybe you never went, you get money for school as well. So it's a unique business model. I like it. The idea, though, is can they sustain it? And here's one thing. If the quarterback play isn't better across the board, that's going to be a major issue. See, a couple of quarterbacks throw touchdown passes and put up big numbers, but for a lot of it, the quarterback struggled. And so they're going to have some time. They're going to need to get better, but we know we're obsessed with quarterbacks. That will be the key to the AAF. Talk to you tonight. Have a great day. After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.